Tet Zayin. Let's start once again from Mishnah and Tet Vav on the base and go through it rapidly so we can remember where we're holding. Chamisha Tamim v'chamisha Muadim. Again, we're going to explain the Mishnah simplistically, and we'll see that Gemara is going to attack this explanation. So we have five cases of Tam, five cases of Muad. Abeima Enamu Edet. The following cases are Tam. And these are the classic Tam cases, all of which are Karen. And they indicate to us that a Karen is not a horn, but is essentially a way of doing damage where the kavanato is lahazik, and it's not the norm. So the behema is not mu'edet ligach, which is literal keren, to gore, v'lo ligof, or to push with its body in a way that damages, v'lo lashuch, to bite, which is not shame, but keren, v'lo lirvot, to roll over something or lie on something and break it, v'lo lirvot, to kick, which is not regal, it's all keren. So those are the five tami. Now the five mu'adim, again, simplistically, we think, are Ashen mu'edet le'echolat ha'ra'u'ila, Arega mu'edet lishbor b'derach imucha. So when something eats what is normal for it to eat, then that's mu'ad by definition. That's Ashen. Regel constantly walks and breaks. That's Regel. Then we have a shor that perhaps did things that normally would have been looked at as tam, but under the circumstances it was a shor ha'mu'ad. So for any behavior, we're going to include all of them in one case. It was any behavior which was unusual that then became three times defined with testimony. The guy was warned. At that point, it becomes a shor ha'mu'ad. So that's our third case of mu'ad. Then we have shor ha'mazik b'reshut ha'nizik, even though it's a tam. But by definition, it's the equivalent of mu'ad because it's in the reshut of the nizik. And this, of course, was the sheet of Rabbi Tarfon that we saw earlier. The adam, as we saw earlier, an adam, even though he's asleep, is considered to be mu'ad. So adam mu'ad la'olam. Then we have a separate clause. Animals that are not normally found in Rosh Hashanah, zev, ari, dov, namer, bardeles, v'hanachash, harei elu mu'adim. So if these things damage, even if they damage in ways that normally for a shor would be considered to be a keren, so let's say they bite someone and so on, so these are considered to be Nezek Sholem by definition, because even though they may be restrained, or even though they may be B'nai Tarbut possibly, they're considered to be Mu'ad. Whereas Rabbi Elazar Omer, Bizman Shein B'nai Tarbut, they're not Mu'adim. If indeed they are trained and they're used to being around people, so if this guy has a lion that grows up in his house with his kids and walks down the street with it, it's not considered to be Mu'ad for the lion to attack. But Anachash Mu'ad La'olam. So that, again, it's a simple meaning. And the reptile is not something that is reliably trained and considered to be B'nai Tarbut. So even if it grows up with you in the house, famous story of the kimono dragon, that after all those years of being nicey, friendly, I forgot the guy on the island, bit off his leg one morning. Yeah, can't really trust those kind of friends. We all have friends like that, you know, but... So it's the Nachash, we call them snakes, you know. Nachash. Nachash mu'ad la'olam. Okay, so now says the Gemara, let's review that Mishnah. It says Hashem mu'edet le'echol. Okay, so now, where is Hashem mu'ad le'echol? I mean, certainly we can't start changing venues here. So midiktoni Hashem mu'edet le'echol. So by definition, it's got to be talking about in the chotzer of the nizik, because Hashem and Rishut Rabim is potter. Then it says, behima einam mu'edet, meaning it's not mu'ad to do the following things, the loligach, loligov, meaning it's not mu'ad to pay the entire thing. But it does pay chatzi nezek, okay? So it's a tam, and that would be like the Rabbanan, who say, despite the fact that in this reshut, namely the reshut anizek, the shein would be mishalem nezek shalem, but if an animal is ligach, ligov, and so on, it's going to be paying chatzi nezek. Now that's clearly saying that it's going on libe de Rabbanan. The Rabbanan say the amri, Mishuna Karen b'chatzer anizak, that when Karen does something that it's not its derech to do, which we just listed, it's eina mu'edet ligach ligof lirvots and so on, that the din is, even though it's in reshut hanizik, it's always, if it's b'chatzer anizik, it's nonetheless the same as in any other place, a chatzi nezik in the mishalim. So the opening of the Mishnah clearly tells me it's not going like Rabbi Tarfon. Now will you take a look at the closing part of the Mishnah? The closing part of the Mishnah says that a shor hamu'ad, which is the normal keren now that's done the same thing three times, or even if it wasn't mu'ad, but it was mazik, reshut ha'nizak, So it's the very thing that the Reisha said, pays chatzin ezek, the Sefer says, reshut ha'nizak, No, actually, it's Nezek Shalim. No, Nezek Shalim or the Mishalim. This is nuts. The Adam. So that's going according to Rabbi Tarfa. Yomer Mishuneh Keren Bechatzor Nizik actually pays Nezek Shalim. That explains a Mishnah, which is Reisha Rabbanan, V'Sefer Rabbi Tarfim. Says the Gemara, well, there's really not much choice. We already made reference to this earlier in a Braita that was patterned on this Mishnah, because Armalei Shmuel Rav Yehuda, Shinana, listen here, Sharpie, Shvokum Apnita, just let it go, baby. V'Tar Batrei, follow me. Reisha Rabbanan, V'Sefer Rabbi Tarfim. Anybody tries to make this Mishnah work out, according to one Shita, is destined for heartbreak. There's only one way, and you've got to accept the fact that the Mishnah is making lists that are possible lists, but not everybody agrees to. That's all. So it's saying, you could have these Chamisha Tamim, you could have these Chamisha Muadim. I mean, depending on the Shita that you buy into. Rabbi Tarfon. Okay. Rabbi Elazar, Mishmei de Rav Amar, destined for heartbreak? Let's give it a try. Azikula Rabbi Tarfon. Actually, with a little bit of finessing here, we could make the Mishnah work out entirely a little bit tarfen. Because, remember, defining precisely the same chotzer as a Rishos HaNizik vis-a-vis Shem and as a Rishos HaMazik vis-a-vis Karen isn't that difficult, is it? As long as we finesse it. We've already seen this before. Suppose we're talking about an erasure, a chotzer that is miyuchedet leperot leechad mehem. Only one of them has rights for storing perot, and both of them have rights for bringing in their animals. So it's a parking space for two people, a storage area for one. So legabe shame, so vis-a-vis shame, it's entirely chotzer anizik. Because he says to the guy who's parking there, look, you know that this is a storage area for fruits and vegetables. Now what the heck did you do when you let your animal there in a way that it could damage? So therefore you're chayef to pay. Masha enkein. If now it's mishtolel, is it keren? So what's you going to say? You didn't have a right to have your shore there? This was a makom for both of us. So the Gabi Karen, it has the same din as the Rishut Rabbi. Therefore, Rabbi Tarfon's din doesn't kick in, because this is not, in terms of Karen, a Rishut HaNizak. It's basically Rishut Rabim, and therefore it's Chayev Chatzinezek, and everything works out fine. Why do you have to keep things so simple necessarily? There has to be either Rishus HaNizek or Rishus HaMazek. On the contrary, the Mishnah is encouraging us to think out of the box, so we could define a rishus that actually meets the requirements of both the Reisha and the Seifa, and we're all happy. Omer of Kahana. Rav Kahana said, well, I said this over. Amrita l'shmaita dekamei the Rav Zvid min Ardov. And he asked this. Because he said, look, how can you say that the Mishnah is going on Libet Rabbi Tarfon? I mean, it's all very nice to focus on little pieces of the Mishnah. Mimatz is mukmas akulak Rabbi Tarfon. You're ignoring a very important word there, which is not going to work on Libet Rabbi Tarfon. Because note, Hashen mu'edet lechol et haro'uila. Aha. Now we've got to have a problem. Because remember yesterday we came up, and again, yesterday becomes now an introduction to the idea here. We came up with the idea that once we say that the Chatzi Nezek is not, so now if Hashen eats something that it normally wouldn't eat, what do we consider that to be? Consider it to be a keren, right? So we say, shein is mu'ed to eat ha-ra'uila. Now that means, ra'uila im, she'ein ra'uila lo. You're telling me that shein is not mu'ed to eat something which it's not, it's there to eat. Okay. So what is it then? It's mishuneh. It's mishuneh. So then it's going to have the dinim of keren. Problem is, if you're going according to Rabbi Tarfon, who cares if it has the dinim of Karen? He says, Mishunek Karen Bechotzer Nizik Nezek Shalim Mishalim anyway. You said, remember, that the din doesn't switch now from a Karen to from a Shein to a Karen. In other words, in terms of whether I have rights to be here and my need to be Shemer from the eating of Perot or of the other guy who's the only one who has rights to store anything here. My animal went and ate those things. So you're saying, but if it ate those things in a way in which it's really not roy to eat, because it doesn't usually eat such big pumpkins. It eats smaller pumpkins. So therefore, it's going to have a din of mishuneh. If it has a din of mishuneh, that becomes the fundamental insight that Chatzi Nezek Knas gives us. Otherwise, you would say that you would be potter because it's mishuneh. Now you're going to pay 50%. But wait a minute. According to Rabbi Tarfon, since you've told me it's the reshus of the nizik, because he's the only guy to write to have a pumpkin here, so then I'll leave it to Rabbi Tarfon, you should be paying nezik sholem anyway. So the last person who would have inserted into the Mishnah the word hara'uila would be Rabbi Tarfon. So all, talking about heartbreak, all of your attempts to finesse this Mishnah in a way that would work out for Rabbi Tarfon, they all crash against that one word, hara'ui. What a shame. So it can't work out, I'll leave it to Rabbi Tarfon. Because here Rabbi Tarfon, I'm in Mishnah, Karen Bechotzer, Nizik, Nezik, Nezik, Shalom, Mishnah. So, if you want the Mishnah to work out, you have to do major surgery, not finessing. Now, here's the way you could do major surgery on the Mishnah. You could say like this. The whole Mishnah is going to leave it to Rabbanim. Okay? So, Leolam Rabbanani. Now, the Rabbanim who hold, you want me to say it out. The Rabbanim who argue with Rabbi Tarfon. And they say that Mishnah Karen B'chotzer Nizik still only pays Chatzin Nezik. Now, here would be the way to read the Mishnah. It's not Chamisha Tamin. And then, when it comes to time, I mean, think about this for a minute. When it comes to time, you give me a list of five things. I mean, you could have given me a list of 100 things, okay? You give me a list of five things because you're trying to indicate those fundamental things, no matter what organ they're done with as a Karen. Very nice. But then you want to tell me the Chamisha Mu'adim. Those Chamisha Mu'adim have nothing to do with the Chamisha Tamin. Ah, come on, man. I mean, when it comes to the Mu'ad, all the times are the same Mu'ad. When it comes to time, every time is different. So therefore, I say, look, why don't we just read the Mishnah? But add a couple of words, and then it makes very good sense. We say, Chamisha Tamin Hei. What are the Chamisha Mu'adim? Well, obviously the same Chamisha Tamin. In other words, Ve'im Mu'adu, so Chamishtan Mu'adim. But you're certainly not going to say that the moment that you have a Ha'adah on one activity, so therefore it's a Ha'adah on all activities, you're going to say, this Shor is violent. So the Mele, it's violent in every way. So since it gores, it's also going to bite. No, we have five Tamin, we have five Mu'adim. So if that's the case, we now have a Mishnah that's complete in and of itself. Chamisha Tamim, Chamisha Mu'adim, that's it. Now, besides that, you should know the following information. Shein and Regel, those are considered to be Mu'ad from the beginning. Even though they're organisms, as we mentioned yesterday, when it comes to Bor Ve'esh, the words Mu'adim Mitchilasan here would be completely irrelevant. I mean, we're talking about habits, so to speak. In other words, neural pathways is difficult to find in an Esh. A neural pathway, unless you're into Aristotle and quintessence and stuff like that, but there's no neural pathways here. So in the mail, we could forget about Bor, we forget about age, but when you're talking about organisms, Shein Varega, you should know that they're considered to be Mu'adim Mitchilatza, and those cases are what we refer to when we talk about a Shor HaMu'ad. So that's now, this is what's meant by Shor HaMu'ad. So in other words, either a Shor that was once a Tam and now became a Mu'ad, or the two cases of Shor that are always Mu'ad, by definition, Mitchilatam. Those are the Mu'adim.
Echan ha'adatam. Now, as far as the words of Shor, Hamazik Breshut HaNizak, that's only an explanation of Shein V'Regel. Where is the place where Shein V'Regel are considered to be Mu'adim Mitchilatam? That is B'chatzer HaNizak. Now everything makes sense. Maskev L'Ravina, that can't possibly be the explanation of the Mishnah. Because basically, the next perek is an expansion on this Mishnah. And the part of the next perek, Mishnayot, that describe this portion of the Mishnah, goes, Mokotani Lekamot, and it says later on, quote, Shor Hamazik Breshut HaNizak Ketzad, and what is the case that we're referring to in our model Mishnah, which is, of course, our Mishnah, of a Shor that's Mazik Breshut HaNizak, and then it goes on to explain. Tells us the Machlokas Rebbe Tafan Rabbanan. Now, according to you, our mission never discussed it. So how in the world are we asking Ketzad if it wasn't even said? It was only merely an explanation to you of when Shein would be Mu'ad. See, yeah, but Bishlema, if you're going to tell me that, we indeed discussed it here. Okay, then it makes sense that in the next paragraph we expand on it. Mishumachi Katani, Ketzad. Bela Yavit Lo Ayreba, if you're going to tell me we never even discussed it. So then my Ketzad, how are we expanding on it? Actually, let me do that a bit better here. It actually is the way I began. It's the last piece I made a mistake on. So we're missing indeed the words im huadu chamishtan muadim. So we read the mission as follows. Harigatani, chamishata minein vim huadu chamishtan muadim. Then there's also shein v'regel, there are muadim mitchilatan. All of the above are shor hamuad. Now, as far as a similar issue, which may lead to Tashlumin as if the Shor is Muad, which is the case of Shor HaMazik B'Rishut HaNizak, that needs to be discussed, as it is indeed later on. And that's a Machloket Rabbi Tafa V'Rabbanan, which we will be explaining. Then, V'yesh Muadim Acharim Kayotze Be'elu, we have other Muadim, such as the Zev, the Ari, Dov, V'Abardles, V'Namer, V'Hanachash. It's like major surgery, but take a look at the Breita. And you'll see that this is actually a very, very reasonable way of reading the Mishnah. And clearly the Ratanoim understood it this way, because that's how they said it over in the Braita. Tanyanami Achi, Chamisha Taminein, Ve'im Muadu, Chamishta Muadim. So that's the five. Now add to that Shein and Regel, because they are Muad Mitrilatan. All of the above cases are Shor HaMuad. There's also, however, a case that might be the equivalent in terms of Tashlumin is a Shor HaMuad, which is a Shor HaMazik B'Rishut HaNizik, which is a Machlokes Rebbe Tafa V'Rabbanan, which our Mishnah is not coming to be Machriya. V'yesh Muadim Acherim Kayotzim Be'elu, Azei, V'Ari, V'Adov, V'Anamer, V'Abardeles, V'Anachash, and there you go. Actually, Igad Ramal Amirma, there's some who start this whole conversation by viewing it as a contradiction. And they say like this, look, on the one hand it says, Chamisha Tamin, V'Chamisha Muadim. And then the same Mishnah goes right ahead and starts listing a bunch of other things. You're telling me there's only five Muadim, and what about the Zev and the Ari and the Dov and the Amerevah, Bardeles and Nachash, and what about that? I mean, if you're going to start listing Muadim, you're going to have to list any type of thing which people may sometimes domesticate or train, bring into Rosh Hashanah. You want to give me a list of every type of pet? Maybe a panda? You didn't list a panda. How can you list a panda? How about a kangaroo? A mongoose? A badger? I mean, yeah, there's people actually wear badgers around their shoulders. So, live ones. So what are you telling me that there's only five? And as a result of this question, they present the answer over here as Ravina, not a theoretical discussion, but Nogea, the problem of whether we're going like Rabbi Tarfon and the Rabbana, but the simple meaning in the Mishnah, in which Ravina answers that, well, clearly the Mishnah's Chisru and Mechasra. Those Chamisha Tamin can't be coincidental that there's Chamisha Muadim. So the Chamisha Tamin are, Im Huado, the Chamisha Muadim. Now, I want to give you other information about Muad, the Shein Rega, Muad Mitchilasa, all those things are referred to as Shor HaMuad. There's also a Shor HaMazik B'Rishut HaNizik. It isn't fair to call it a Shor HaMuad. Obviously, that's Mishunah Karen. We always talk about it. Mishunah Karen B'Rishut HaNizak. But still, Legabi Tashulumim, that's a Machlok, because Rabbi Tafer Rabbanan. And there's other things which you can understand, such as Yeshua Dimachem Kayotse Be'elu, Zev, Ari, Adov, Anamer, Abardeles, Vanachash, and so on.
And though all of these are Muadim, we don't mean that they're Muadim of Karen. What we mean to say is that they're all Muadim, in the sense that it's considered to be their derech to eat in this fashion. We're going to be mechayev of them, as shein v'regel, each one in the way that it usually does. By the way, the shein, which you might say, but I thought a nachash doesn't really enjoy what it does, because it actually doesn't have any taste buds, and it poisons, and so on. And that's the famous medrash, Tosfos says that the Gemara brings a ta'anit, that all of the chayot ask about the lashon hara. And so we say, there's also no hana'ala ba'ala lashon, the same thing. They ask the nachash, what pleasure do you have when you just poison someone, and then you walk away and he dies? But Tosfos says that nonetheless, given the urchei, since this is the approach, this is its derech, that's the equivalent of regal. So in other words, the nachash, that is no sheikh, is regal. And the others are shein. What type of shein they are, each one, we'll see later on in Amud Beis, in its own way. So a wolf is toreif, an ari is doreis, or we'll see he's also sometimes toreif, lets it die, and then he stores it.
Okay, so now we have a very different way of looking at this Mishnah. It involves a little bit of surgery, chisur mechasra, but it seems that this way we avoid all the problems, both of the internal contradictions and the structure of the Mishnah, which you must admit is very unwieldy, the way we originally looked at it. That the Chamisha Tamin, that would just go through cases, and then the Chamisha Mu'adim are like completely off the wall, from one end of the spectrum to the other. This way it works out very well. Now let's get back into the list of the Tamin. Now, it's interesting. It's really not considered to be normal for an animal to lie down when there's something under it. I mean, I understand, you know, it depends what it is. If it's one of those old-fashioned Motorola phones, you know, that are larger than a suitcase, you know,
And on the one hand, okay, maybe that's not Barco, but I mean, if it's one of these new blackberries, I mean, why not? The animal's going to notice the blackberry. Omar Rabbi Elazar, and you're right. Makes a difference, obviously. I mean, when it comes to lying down at something that it doesn't really pay much attention to and it doesn't poke it in the belly, well, why wouldn't the animal lie down on it as part of regal? Certainly, we can't call every damage that comes from lying down assume that this animal's got a vicious smile on its face while it's doing it. I mean, it may just be tired. Lema misayali. Shall we say that we can bring a riot to this for the following? Habeimamu edet lahalech kedarka uleshaber. An animal is mu'ah to walk along without paying any attention and to break like the bull in the china shop. Ulama'ech et ha'adam ve'et ha'beimah ve'et ha'kelim, and to crush people, animals, kelim. I mean, so apparently it will actually lie down on your cell phone. Well, how do you know that means lying down? I mean, maybe it means as it walks by, the women outside. In other words, if there's no room for it and you to get through the same hallway, it may not notice as it pushes through. There's lots of people like that, too. So that may be what it's referring to. I mean, outside, give him the old Google. Yeah. You almost got it this time. Okay, Ikari Amri. Omar Rabbi Elazar. Others say that what Rabbi Elazar said is the opposite. Lo temapachim gedolim udalav urche. You shouldn't think that it's only something that is large that is considered to be mishuneh, but that pachim ketanim, it would be the derech of an animal to lie down. On pachim ketanim, you should know that our animals are princes and the peas. So I feel pachim ketanim, no self-respecting animal, unless it's interested in doing damage and it's got that smile, is going to lie down on your cell phone and bust it, unless it's sick and tired of you spending more time on the phone than you spend giving it its food. And therefore, I feel pachim ketanim nami lav urchihu. So we asked, in this version, we ask, Meitvei, it says that it's the derech of an animal, lema'ech et ha'adam et ha'beimah et ha'kelim. So apparently it is the mode of an animal to crush cell phones. This Omer Rabbi Elazar does not really belong here. Because it's really a takeoff. The if you'll notice, Rabbi Elazar, when he answers, he doesn't say maybe. Why would he say maybe? So if you're going to say Dilma Minatzad, then it's the Gemara that's saying maybe with Dilma Minatzad. If it's Rabbi Elazar, would say Minatzad, not Dilma Minatzad. So you can't have it both ways. Wait, why say Dilma Minatzad? In other words, Lushita. See, this means Minatzad. I'm saying Dilma Minatzad means the Gemara is coming back with it. This is a Kasha Teh. It's not a Kasha. Ika de Rami Lay Mirama. Now, some introduce this whole sugya again as a contradiction. It's not, on the one hand, v'loli rabot. It says it, and Mishnah says it's not the derech of an animal to lie down over something. V'hatanya, doesn't it say here in the Braita, it is the derech l'ma'ech et ha'adam et ha'beimah et ha'kelim, it's the derech of an animal to crush a cell phone. So, Omar Rabbi Elazar lo kasha, kan bepachim gedolim, kan bepachim ketanim. So that the first lashon of Rabbi Elazar is the way in which this Ikari Amri explains the contradiction, or the supposed contradiction between the Braita and the Mishnah. Now, before we get on to the next piece, I want to give you just a little bit of background so that it should make some sense. We've seen very often that a Gemara is multi-leveled. Nezikin Bichlal has many rimazim, many Kabbalistic rimazim, and they're very noticeable, by the way, because we often find that these particular things that we refer to as the mazikim turn up. You'll notice the strange language in the opening Mishnah, and we know that there's reasons for that strange language. On the simplest level, the weird choices of terminology are choices that allow us more room for interpretation, so we can have Rav and Shmuel, let's say, in the Mishnah. But on a deeper level, obviously, if we're talking about an Adam as a Mave, and then Mave turns out to be the meaning of Tshuva in Tevayu Vayu, something strange is going on. And the truth is that, Kabbalistically speaking, the nature of Avot Nezikin is viewed as a description of the nature of the development of Ra, Bichlal, in the world, and on its lowest level is exposed in society as Mazik. And because of that, there's many, many Ramazim in Psukim that choose Bedafka, these words, both, by the way, Latov and Lara. In other words, you could be talking about a Shor, but we have Yosef Atzadik is a Shor. You could talk about Karen, we have the Karnei Re'im Karnav when it comes to Yosef as well. You could be talking about a chamor that does damage, but then you're also talking about Yisachar. I mean, these are all from this week's parasha. So that The idea of kichayoteina, as Rashi points out even in Parsha Shavuos, is that all of the shvatim are merumas in various animals. And the truth is that we use animals as the lowest level description of things. And of course, this begins all the way back in the mythic description of the issues of Gan Eden, in which the Nachash becomes this idea of a Nachash, which clearly I can't be anything like a Nachash, but I mean, you know, something that had feet, but it was reptilian. It's all right. So we understand that the Torah uses this as a terminology of that strikes very deep chords in our psyche, ad hayom. The Gemara does the same thing. We organize the Mishnah with words that have multiple level of meanings, including very, very deep psychological connotations and so on. And so the Gemara here, point every once in a while in the Masechta, you get this very strange interlude, which all of a sudden we see references that are absolutely strange, weird, don't belong in the Gemara, but that are part of some of the more striking things that have to do with the nature of the mazikin. Whenever we use a word that really doesn't seem to belong there, that's where these kind of things happen. Okay, so we spoke about the idea of mafa before. Here we have a bardalis. Now, a bardalis may have some kind of simple meaning. When you walk into a zoo, they'll show you a bardalis. But it's definitely not a kind of word or a kind of thing that you meet walking down the street. We're talking about it. So what in the world is a bardalis, says the Gemara? So Rav Yehuda says the bardalis is a nafraza. Well, that's a big help. My nafraza. Omar, Rav Yosef. Actually, the nafraza itself is an apa, which with changed spelling is found actually in Tanakh. Meisvei, Rabbi Meir, Omer, af hatzavua. Rabbi Meir lists an additional case of hatzavua, which we know has a double meaning. And Rabbi Elazar says, af hanachash, to which Rabbi Yosef explained that the tzavua that Rabbi Meir was referring to is the apa. So if Rabbi Meir is adding the apa, how could the bardalis be the apa if you're trying to say that I'm adding it to the cases given in the Mishnah? So clearly a bardalis is not an apa. Ah, but you see, it depends. I mean, what sex bardalis, you see? Lokasha, kan betzavua zachar, and kan betzavua nekeva. I mean, it really, really depends because there's some dramatic differences among the sexes, you see. Because it's avua zachar. So the bardalis in the Mishnah is talking about a tzavua zachar. This is the approach that Rashi prefers. And Rav Yosef was talking about the tzavua zachar when he said it's an apa. When Rabbi Meir was being mosif, the tzavua, he was talking about the tzavua nekeva. The tzavua nekeva is indeed not an apa. Why do we say that? Because look, the Braita says that a tzavua zachar turns into a bat after 7 years, but it has to be dead. These are mythic things. They're not real. But we're using these as simonim for things that involve the nature of evil. Atalef li'achar sheva shanim. It's interesting that we have still these connotations. They're really weird. You know, the Batman. It's fascinating. I mean, his terror, right? Batman's initial terror is all about his experience of bats, right? And he uses that and translates it into a fight against evil. Very strange. So that, I mean, that involves mamish, the underlying questions of the Joker and the Amalek and the nature of Ra and the Tzvi'ut and so on. I mean, these are such fundamental mythic ideas that they keep turning up again and again in various cultures in the weirdest ways. So you have even comic book level. Okay, but I mean, Hamais, it's something that touches everybody. I mean, it can't be what you think. It's got to be something that mamish touches people and touches them very deeply. So the atalef now, actually after 7 years, becomes a kimush. Kimush is a type of thorn. And of course, it's always used, valat kulo kimshonim, if you talk about things that are absolutely gone to pot and nobody cares about, and you allow the kimshonim to grow. It's a sign of complete uninvolvement and chaotic wild growth in which nobody is doing any cultivation. Well, that's, I don't know. That's the arpad is the what we're talking about. But what an arpad, I don't know what any of these things are, right? I mean, it becomes an arpad becomes a kimush becomes le'ach sheva shani. By the way, there's the other girsos of the shevas. We'll see. After le'ach sheva shani becomes a choach, now a choach is also used all the time. It's very similar to a kimosh. It's a different type of thorns. A Korach after 7 years becomes a shade. What else? And actually, a human spine, after the guy dies, and never bowed down in Modim, of course, as we'll see, Le'acha Sheva Shanim becomes a Nachash itself, because that's basically the reptilian brain. But Hanimidi Delo Korach B'Modim, a guy who never is Korea B'Modim, so essentially that individual sees himself as a Nachash, has acted as a Nachash, and that's the vertebrae. And that's all that's left in the Nachash.
Spineless?
No, only spine.
Only spine.
That's the point of the Nachash, right? When he loses his legs. Exactly. Yeah. Tosfos brings it. Yeah. No, a Nachash isn't spineless. A Nachash is only spine. The Tosfos brings that here. That's what it is, right? It's the ultimate vertebrae. There's nothing that sticks out anywhere else. It's just a moving spine. So someone who is not Korea b'modim, whereas modim is not, the Nakash was the one thing that refused to accept the morals of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's all about kina, all about using itself.
This ties
it certainly does. The Mefarshim actually tie it in, the nature of Ra, kina, and so on. Now, on my mind, Rabbi Meir Omer Af HaTzavua, and Rabbi Elazar Omer Af HaNachash. Now, Af HaNachash seems to be saying that Rabbi Elazar holds that included with the other Muadim is the Nachash. But the problem is, in the Mishnah, Rabbi Elazar says that the others are not called Muadim, only the Nachash. Because the others, Bizman Shein B'nei Tarbud, a non-Muadim, but only the Nachash is a Muad Leolam. And how could Rabbi Elazar say Af HaNachash, as if to say Nachash is like anything else? The Nachash, according to him, is unique in that being reptilian, it's not reliably trained. So it's in no way something that you would call the ben tarbut. You're right. You have to change that. Tni nachash, not Rabbi Elazar says af nachash, but rather Rabbi Elazar says, we're referring to the nachash. So when Rabbi Elazar says that bizman shein b'nei tarbut enan muadim, it means that they're so well behaved that indeed they won't even do the things that are urche. It's an interesting question that Tosfos asks, because in the Gemara, in Sanhedrin, it's Rabbi Elazar who says that the first guy who gets in to kill somebody's pet lion or wolf or whatever is great. He was Zoicha. And that's talking about where they showed no signs of being dangerous, because we say that they don't have any tarbut, in which case they're not considered to have any proper balut, because nobody's allowed to have them. So the Tosfos is suggesting, the suggestion is that the gears over here should be Rabbi Elazar, indeed, as we have it. Rabbi Elazar comes in the door after Rabbi Meir. Whereas there, it says the first one to kill it is Zocha, that's going according to Rabbi Eliezer, who comes earlier than Rabbi Akiva. Omar Shmuel, actually, I mean, the behavior here would be very important, because Ari B'Rishut HaRabim, if an Ari walking down Rishut HaRabim is Doras the Achal, so then it would be patur, because that would be shein b'rishut harabim. And the way that an ari, what exactly doras, as opposed to toraf, is a lot of discussion among the Rishonim. Basically, trefa refers to something that is done with a paw, right? Or a claw, actually. So the claw, and this is nogea also, physiologically, legabi dinei trefas, in which we know that we have cat fever that's caused by clawing, which we understand that trefa has an impact on an organism that goes beyond the actual surface wound. So that's called toref. And that has dinim of trefa. Even if the animal doesn't die, it's considered to be a trefa. Drisa, on the other hand, is not done with the claw, according to most, and it would be done by ripping by the teeth at the way that a lion would attack. It's not going to sit there clawing you. It's going to bite. It's going to try to just bite through the throat of what it's trying to eat. But another nafkamina is that something that's toreif is also stores. So it's toreif, doesn't eat on the spot. The drisa is part of the actual eating. So we'll see that there's different behaviors over here. So the ari, that's dores, va'ochel, it's potter because that is urche. But on the other end, if it's taraf, so that first, and this is also a nafkamina that some say, that drisa means it doesn't wait for its food to die. It's not interested whether it dies. It just makes it powerless enough to move away, and then gets about eating, as many of those
nice National Geographic movies will show you, you know. Yeah, yeah, the animal just keeps on living there while he goes around eating. That way the meat doesn't spoil rapidly, you know. So you try to keep it alive as long as you can. But if it would be toreif v'ochel, so it, Rashi learns toreif, it means that it's horeg, and then eats. So then it would be chayev, because then it's not considered to be shein, it's considered to be keren. So there it would be chayev chatzinezek. Doras v'ochel patur, because kivet u'urche lemidras avile kibosh ochle perot v'irakot. So that would be the equivalent for a lion of a shor is eating perot v'irakot, which is shein b'rushut harabim, and it would be patur. But taraf is lav urchehu. Really? The name of the treifa, lav urchehu? You're saying that it's considered mamish to be mishuneh? Doesn't it say, arye toreif b'dei gurotav umechanek leleviotav? So, I mean, there you go. Arye is toreif? No. Arye toreif b'dei gurotav means for its gurotav. In other words, if a lion doesn't want to eat, wants to bring food back home, so over there, what it will do is it will be toreif and then drag it back instead of eating it. So it's bishvil gurotav. Does it not say umichanek lilavotav? So apparently the derech is that it will kill, bimichanek. That also means, I mean, that's to give a nice gift to Mrs. Lion on those rare occasions when you get up to go, to be willing to stand up and do a little work for a change. It's like a guy who does the dishes, you know. He'll remember the dishes that he did once, you know, in the year. What do you mean? I always help out with the dishes. So over here, this lioness, for one time, sits quietly, and he manages to get something for her. That makes a big deal out of it. So that's the...
By the way,
it came out, never happens. That's what I'm saying. It came out, never happens. I'm saying it's like a man doing the dishes. So if he wants to bring something, so he'll bring it for his lionesses. I just explain that to you, that this is a guy who's doing the dishes.
He doesn't
relate to it. V'yamalei teref chorav. But it says teref. It means that he takes teref, that he was toref, and he fills up his cave with it. That's bishvil chorav. Again, I mean, don't you get the idea? So that it's talking about where there's a need to have, you got a family and you have to have it for later, or there's not much game or whatever, there's cases, but it's not the norm. And what about the closing words, me'onotav treifa? Well, you got the idea. Bishvil me'onotav. That's for the storage. So in other words, what we're saying is that if it's going to eat something, then the Ari indeed is doreis v'ochel, and it's not toreif. However, if it plans on bringing something home or storing something in its ma'on, so then it's not coming to eat immediately. And then in Achinami, if it's coming to store, so then it's actually would be toreif. And it's only when it's coming to eat right away, then it's considered to be mishune, to be toreif and to eat. Normally it would eat while the prey is living. As the Gemara Vatanya, if a chayan, as this points out, this seems to mean any chayan, it's even including the Ari, we can't say it's only referring to, let's say, a za'iv, and it goes and it's toreif and eats on the spot, so then indeed it would be mishalim nezek shalim, the same way that Shane is paying, as it always does, b'chatzar nezek. Apparently, therefore, it must be darka. Furthermore, points out Tosus, it's not reasonable to say that what it's referring to over here is indeed not Shane at all, but rather Karen Bershus and Isaac and Levi Tarfon, because all of this occurs, as we're going to see later, in the context of Shane. And says the Gemara, the obvious answer, what we've already said, have we not, that in the case where Nari is Toref to be Meniach, and it's going to put it at the refrigerator, so in Achinami, the norm there would be to be Toref. So it's talking about that it was Tarfala Niach, and not to eat. What do you mean, says the Gemara? It says beferish. Tarfa v'yachla, that tarfa v'ma v'achla katani. So obviously it ate it. It means that it's not its derech. Well, it's talking about that a strange thing happened on the way to the refrigerator, as I'm sure many of us have witnessed in their own lives. Kishanim l'cha v'yachla. The lion changed its mind on the way back to the fridge and actually ate it on its own. Interesting. I suppose you had a nice conversation with the lion to ascertain this. Midayadina. I mean, how in the world are we supposed to know this if there's no outward indication that this is the case? I mean, not to mention that if you're ready to say that, va'od, if you're telling that the fact that a lion will eat something after being torah, if it doesn't prove anything, because it may have been actually thinking of putting it in the fridge, and so then Shmuel doesn't make sense either. I mean, Shmuel says, then in Ariba Shutarabi, Shutarafa Chalas Chayev because of Karen, maybe he's doing a perfectly natural thing. He originally intended to be tariff in order to put in the fridge, then realized he was hungry and decided to eat it. So Dilma Achim, maybe it's the same exact case. So therefore, what you're saying doesn't make any sense. There's got to be another way of understanding this. Amr Nachum Bar Yitzchak, there is indeed. Litzdodim Katani, the brighter that we brought before, is not talking about one case where it was Chaya Shenichtas Alachasar Nizik Tarfa Beima V'Yachla Basar, but rather, it means tarfa beima is one case. Or is it tarfa beima means lianiach? Oh, shachla basa, meaning through drisa. So, oh, darsa v'yachla, that's what it's talking about. So in those cases, it's not considered to be mishuneh, and therefore in all these cases it would be mishalem v'nezek shalem, because it would be the equivalent of shein. Ravina says, actually, it is the derech of any ari to be toreif and to eat, and therefore, an Ari that's Taref and eating in the Rishus Aram is Potter because it's the Shein Rishus Aram. But Shmuel, who said that an Ari that's Taref and eats Rishus Aram and Mischayev, was not talking about a regular Ari. He was talking about a very cultured Ari. So he was talking about an Ari Tarbud, which somebody has as a pet in his house. It's grown up with people. It's not its derech to attack and eat. It's fed. And it's going Aliba to Rabbi Elazar. Remember that we saw earlier who said that indeed, if you have a cultured lion, then he says, that Ariva, Dov, and so on, if they were B'nai Tabut and they grew up with people, so then they're not considered to be Darkan Lahazik, in which case, according to this, you can't ask on Shmuel from the Brisa, because the Brisa is talking about a regular lion. Reina Chinami would be its derech, where Shmuel was talking about a cultured lion. How can you say that Shmuel's talking about a cultured lion? If he's talking about a cultured lion, so why would that lion be Doreis Vochelet? So Yachi Afil Dorsa. So even if an Ari is Doreis, Pershus Arabi, it should be Chayef too, because that is it's Derech only when it's not cultured. But you said he's talking about a cultured lion, in which case we should view this as Karen? Well, that's true. So actually, Ravina never was referring to Shmuel. The Ravina lava Shmuel Itma. He was talking directly on the Braita, La Matanita. So the Braita said, Chayesh nichnas ala chatzar anizik, and so on. So if it's Toref, ochatz b'sham nezek shalem, so Ravina says, don't think that the reason that the Braita says that you're paying nezek shalem is because of darka shalari litrov, and therefore it's shame, and shame b'chatzar anizik is nezek shalem. Actually, the Braita was talking about a case of ari tarbut, and therefore it would not be its derech to do damage even in this fashion, and it's going aliba. The Rabbi Elazar. And Rabbi Elazar holds that this is lavur, okay? And so Mimela, it's Mishalim because of Karen. What? Says the Gemara Yochi. If you're telling me that it's not, it's Derech, so then why is it Peng Nezek Shalim? So then it's Chatzin Nezek, why Lishlumi? You're saying it's Mishunek. Well, it's talking about that it was the Iyayat. It did this three times. So over there, the Bright that says you pay Nezek Shalim because it's basically at this point Karen Muet. In which case, what the Braita was saying is completely irrelevant to what Shmuel was saying. Shmuel was talking about an Ari that is not Muad Litrov. The Braita is talking about an Ari that ended up becoming a Muad. And he's a Muad to be Tarif and then to eat, and in which case he's going to pay, indeed. Nezek Shalem. Says the Gemara Yachi, if the Ari over here were being Mechayev because of Karen and not because of Shane, so my Haidik Tanil Agabe told her the Shane. Why is it that later on in the Braita, this is put in as one of the Toldot of Shane? It should have been listed together with Gabi Toldot to Karen by the Mitzvah. Kasha. That is indeed a problem. But again, you could see why it's not fatal. Because the whole discussion that we just had is a very important discussion. I'll leave the Rebbe Lazar. And once it's Mityaed, okay, so now we're talking about Karen. This is very interesting. We're talking about Karen Muad. Let me ask you something. You had a very cultured line. And this cultured lion now three times goes ahead and acts very uncultured. So is it now a cultured lion that is doing something weird for a cultured lion? Or is it now an uncultured lion who's doing something perfectly typical, which is called shame?
and is no longer a Karen. Does a Karen Muad remain a Karen Muad because once upon a time you were cultured? Or does this Karen Muad turn back into a shame?
And the truth is that that would address, as Tosis points out, the question of why it says over here that it's talking in the Braita, it says, Shenichnasu b'chotzer anizik, which should not be important. If now we're learning that it's talking about Karen, and all this is told of Karen, why does it say Shenichnasu b'chotzer anizik? So Tosis points out, because one of the chayos, after all, is a zev, right? So the zev, when it's not cultured, the norm is that it's torev. So now that we said it was cultured, then becomes now three times iyayid to be torev. That's not iyayid to do something unusual. That's iyayid to go back to its normal uncultured self. And a return to its original state is not considered to be Karen. Indeed, it's considered to be shame.
Midiktoni ashen mu'edet le'echol. Nechlal de'bechot sradizik askinim. Vekatoni be'ima ena mu'edet le'shalem. Kule avu chatzin ezek m'shalemet. Mani rabanani damre m'shune keren v'chot sradizik chatzin ezek le'b'shalem. Ema seifa shora mu'ed v'shora mazik b'shut anizak v'adam. That's going clearly like Rabbi Tarfon. Yomer b'shune keren v'chot sradizik nezek shalem u'de b'shalem. Reish rabanam v'seifa Rabbi Tarfon. In Dharma Lishmuel Riviera Shinana, Shvok Matnitin Vitabatrai. Raja Rabbanav is safe for Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Elazimish made Rav Omar Kula Rabbi Tarfoni, Raja Bechotra Miuchedit Le Perot, Le Chad Mehem, Ulazevaze Lishvarim, the Lagabi Shane Avin Lechotra Nizik, Lagabi Karen Avin Rishis Arabi. Omar of Kana, Rita Shvite, Kameda Rabbi Zvid Minarda, Ve Omarli, Mi Batsu Mukula Kula Rabbi Tarfon. Hapteni Hashem wedet lecholata ra'uila. Dafka ra'uila, like that in, but she ain't ra'uila lo. But according to Rabbi Tarfon, I remember Shana Karen Bechatzar Nizik, Nizik Shalim Mushalim anyway. Eloi, Leolam Rabbanani, V'chisurim Akasar V'achi Katani, Chamisha Taminim, V'im Muadu, put in those words, Chamishtan Muadim. Getting back to the Mishnah, V'shein V'rega Muadim Mitchilatan, V'heichana Adatan, Bechatzar Nizik. Matkiv lo Ravina, Akhtani le Kamon, Shor Hamazik, Bershut Anizik, Ketzad. Oh, I skipped this. Iyamid Bishleima, Ayreba, Mishumachi Katani, Ketzad. Yele Iyamid lo Ayreba at all. My Ketzad. Elom Ravina, Chitzura Mechaz, Vachi Katani. Chamisha Taminen, Vimuadu, Chamishtan Muadin. Veshen Verega Muadin Mitchilatan. Vizeo Shor Hamuad. Vishor Hamazik, Bershut Anizak. Machloker retired from Rabbonan, the Yeshuadim Acherim Kayotse, Be'elu, Hazev, Ariv, Adov, Vabardalis, Vanamer, Vanakash. Tani Rami Ochi Hamisha Taminen, Vimuadu, Hamishtan Muadim, Veshain Verega Muadim Mikhilatan, Vizel, Shara Muad, Veshara Mazik, Veshutan Nizik Machloker Rabita from Rabbonan, the Yeshuadim Acherim Kayotse, Be'elu, Hazev, Ariv, Adov, Vanamer, Vabardalis, Vanakash. Now, Ike the Ramulai Mirma. Then Chamisha Tamim v'Chamisha Muadim v'Tuleka Ikazeva Riadova Namerva Bardas Vanachash u'Meshani Yom Revina Chesur Mechasra v'Hachi Katani Chamisha Taminim v'Imuadu Chamishtan Muadim v'Shein V'Rega Muadim Mitchilatan v'Zeu Shor HaMuad v'Shor HaMazik Bershut HaNizik Machloket Revitav Rabbonan v'Yesh Muadim Achirim Keyotze Be'ilu Hazeva Riadova Namerva Bardas Vanachash. ולא לרבות, אומר רבי אלעזר, לא שונה לפחים גדולים, אבל פחים קטנים הולכו, אולי במסייע להבימה מועדת להלך כדרכה לשבר עולם האיך, את האדם ואת הבימה ואת הכלים. לא, זה הכל בי מן הצד. איקדי אמר, אומר רבי אלעזר, לא תמה פחים גדולים, גדולה עבורכם, אבל פחים קטנים הולכו, אלא אפילו פחים קטנים נמי לעבורכם. מת ולמעך את האדם ואת הבימה ואת הכלים, דמה מן הצד. Ikir Ramila Mirma. Tzan Velonivot, Svatanil Vaikat Adamat Abimavat Kalim. Omar Rabbi Elazar, Lo Kasha, Kambepachim Gidolim, Kambepachim Tanim. Hazeva Riva, my Bardeles, Om Revira Nafraza. My Nafraza, Om Rev Yosef Appa. Metve Rabbi Meir, Om Rafa Tzavua, Rabbi Leazar, Om Rafa Nakash, Viom Rev Yosef Tzavua Zu Appa. Lo Kasha, Kambetzavua Zachar. Come with Savua Nikipa, the tenets of Wazakar, and the Akashev Shanim, Nasi Atalef, Atalef, Lakashev Shanim, Nasi Arpat, Arpat, Akashev Shanim, Nasi Kimush, Kimush, Lakashev Shanim, Nasi Hoach, Hoach, Lakashev Shanim, Nasi Shade, Shidro Shaladam, Lakashev Shanim, Nasi Nakash, but Hanimid Lokorabu Modim. Omer, Rabbi Meir, Omer, Afat Savua,
Rabbi Elazar Omer Afanachash, Vananta Rabbi Elazar Omer Bizman Shein B'nei Tarbut, they're not Muadim. The Nachash is unique in that it's Muad Lo'olam. Indeed, change that to read not Afanachash, but rather Nachash. Omer Shmuel, Arib Rishut Arabim, Doraz V'achal Patur, Doraz V'achal Chayav. Doraz V'achal Patur, given the Urche Lemidras, Havelei Kamoshach, Loperot V'irakod, Havelei Shein Rishut Arabim U'patur. Torah lav urche. The member the treif lav urche. Baktiv arye toreif badei gurotav. That's true. But bishvil gurotav. But it says umechanek levavotav. That's true too. Bishvil levavotav. Vibalei terav chorav. That's true too. Bishvil chorav. Umonotav treifa. That's bishvil monotav. Vatanya vachin chaya shenichfas salachotzer anizek. Torfa beima viachla basam rishal nezek shalei. Hakumayas kinen shetorfa laniyach. You can also say that. Actually, it's litzdodim katani. Shetarfa, put in the word laniya. Or shedarsa, put in the viachla. So the viachla goes with the darsa that you're putting in. Mishalem and ezek shalem. Revira amar kika omar shmuel bari tarbut. Valiba the rabbi elazar dem alav urche. Yoch yafio darsa nami lechayet. Ela de Ravina was never said on Shmuel. Ela matnita. Kitani matnita bari tarbut va libe de Rabbi Elazar de malav urche. Iachi chatzi nezik boi lishlume. No, well, it means the iayin. Iachi, my iayin tarela gabi tolda de shein. Gabi tolda de karen boi lemitzayim. Kashia.